Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to have you as we begin another nice, beautiful day. What a January we're having here. With everything that's going on across the country weather-wise, it's nice that things are quiet here. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in the midst of the month of January closing in on some really exciting events that we want to make sure that everybody is aware of and is doing something with. In your bulletins this morning, you received these, and we have many more. And this is a part of it, of course, is to inform you that now all of a sudden our first anniversary celebration is just 2 weeks away. And our president of the Florida Georgia District, Greg Walton, is going to be our guest speaker that day. But we need to let you know now about the schedule for that day. There will be only one service that day at 10 o'clock. One service, and you're going to find that when we have our anniversary celebrations throughout the year, that's probably going to be the way that we're going to do it. One service. Now, for this first one, no Sunday school that we're going to be using. We're going to be getting a lot of things ready over in the Christian Life Center for a nice big dinner that we're going to be having that day. If the term FanFest sounds familiar to you, we did something like this again back in the fall, not this past year, but the year before. We had a family-style meal followed by a celebrity that came and played Family Feud. If you were here for that, those people that were here just had a fantastic time. If you weren't here, you've got to see what this is all about. It's a lot of fun. And one of the ways that you can help us, back in Narthex number 2, we've got a sign-up sheet for Family Feud teams. We need some teams to kind of come in, and it doesn't have to be a particular family. We don't need a family name like Smith or whatever the case might be. We're putting together a group of pastors for one of the teams. Fifth Third Bank is actually our defending champions in something like this. Their family came for that celebration. So whatever it is that you want to put together, even five, just I've heard of a team that was called Five People Who Had Nothing in Common. That's a team. Whatever it is that you'd like to do, help us out, and don't be afraid to be playing that game, because there are prizes for everybody and a lot of fun for everybody as well. And even if you're not going to be playing that afternoon, please do come. It's really fun to come and watch. So again, one worship service at 10 o'clock, no Sunday school that day. And what we need you to do with these brochures is, now if you need to keep one to remind yourself of the date and time and the details, that's fine. But our hope with these brochures is that everybody passes one either to someone or to something. A doctor's office in your complex where they keep the magazines in the lounge area. Whatever it is that you want to do, if everybody did just one of these, we would be having a fantastic celebration. And again, that is 2 weeks from today, and especially for our 8 o'clock crowd, just one service at 10 o'clock. It will be a service of Holy Communion, and then we will have dinner over at the CLC following that. Just a couple of things. All of a sudden, we are starting some home Bible studies. They both begin here in the next week. There is a home Bible study that begins in the home of Barb Goodhue starting Tuesday night. That would be 7 o'clock. That one will be a little more frequent. I'm also starting one we're just going to be doing that study once a month. For those people that maybe are kind of new to Bible study and so forth, but would like to be, and new to the concept of actually meeting in various homes, we're going to have the first one in my home. We'll have directions for everybody, but that study is going to be next Sunday evening, Sunday, January the 22nd, and we're going to be trying to meet the fourth Sunday of every month and just see how that goes off to begin, because we did make a commitment to begin working with at least two new Bible studies that are home-based here in 2017. If you have not signed up yet for the pictorial directory, please do so. The slots are starting to fill up a little bit, and with the dates that we have coming in February, Barb Goodhue is here this morning, and we've got enough times, but we've got a little bit of an incentive. We have got some $100 certificates that can be used towards your purchase of any kind of pictures that you want to have through those folks. We are going to be giving those certificates away. We're going to have a drawing for them at FanFest. And so it's a great opportunity to have a chance to get the pictures that you'd like to have in your family. And they're pictures that not only has family used, but we have found a lot of uses for them here at church as well. Again, last thing about our offering envelopes, we just make sure you print your name, envelope number, and amount that's on the envelopes. That's how you can help us with those new ones. Everything else that you need to know about them is in your announcements page, inside your bulletin. So for those that have been hospitalized, to our knowledge, everybody has been able to return home, including Bob Benke, who's been at Bayonet Point a couple of different times. Bob Brown, who was hospitalized this past week following surgery, he also has been able to come home. So I don't know how soon we're going to be seeing him and a couple of the others back in worship, but nevertheless, we pray for the continued health of our congregation. Our order of worship for this morning is our traditional morning prayer. In this season where we reflect on the light of God given to us through Christ, we begin this time of worship recalling our grace through baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Let us now go to our Heavenly Father, rejoicing, confident of His forgiveness for Jesus' sake, beginning with the time of silence. Heavenly Father, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have failed to exhibit joy, the fruit of your Holy Spirit, in our thinking, speaking, and acting. We have let the sorrows of this world mask the joy inside. We have not always told the glad news of deliverance. We have not loved you completely or our neighbors as ourselves. Our Lord Jesus revealed his person and ministry through his words and actions. In your great mercy, forgive, renew, and lead us so that we may be revealed as his faith-filled followers to the glory of your holy name. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus revealed his identity and mission through words and deeds. Grant that your Holy Spirit strengthen us so that we may be revealed as his faith-filled followers as we joyfully proclaim the good news by what we say and do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the second Sunday after the Epiphany. The Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Isaiah. God's servant is to bring light to the nations. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him." For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation will reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord who is faithful has become the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians. We are not lacking in any spiritual gifts. St. Paul writes, Paul called by the will of God to be the apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. John the Baptist identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day, again John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, What are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come, and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, So, you are Simon, the son of John? You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We have a special confession of our Christian faith following today's message. Friends, may God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text for today is from the second lesson that we heard a little bit earlier from 1 Corinthians, where Paul shares these words. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace that was given you in Christ Jesus, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, friends, we've had enough time now. We're right into the middle of January. And so in the midst of what we're going to be doing today, I'm going to begin with this question. First of all, where are the Christmas presents now? Where should they be? By the time we're done now, we're also going to review our previous week of stewardship, because we're in the middle. Here in January, I took the opportunity last year to share a series of messages, and even though we're on a different schedule, we're not going to be devoting as many weeks to it, still, it's a part of something that I want us to always be keeping close to. And then the heart of what we're going to be talking about today is what God gives is always rooted in salvation, before we hand out what the challenge for this week really is. So let's start. Every single present now not only has long been opened, but hopefully whatever other packaging it came in, because usually when you open up some kind of wrapping, the next thing that you get to is packaging, whether it's the packaging that came with the thing or whether it's a box or something that you put something in, nothing should be in any of that stuff anymore, all right? Where should they be? If you got a new sweater or even those things that people don't like to get sometimes for Christmas presents, like socks, where do you suppose they should be? You should be using them. That's what. That may not always be the case, but somehow or another, the focus should be on how we have cast aside that which was on the outside, and now we are, whatever it was, we are using. Now, you know, when presents are put together, and you got all those pretty presents under the tree, it looks pretty impressive. But you know, when you take away all the wrapping paper and stuff like that, sometimes it makes you wonder if it looks a little bit like this. Wrapping paper doesn't look so good after it's been cast aside. But friends, our lives are not about wrapping paper at all. Or at least, it shouldn't be. But is this the primary thing that's left over from Christmas? That, you know, the only thing that we really have is even if it was a bunch of junk paper, that's all we have. Either we felt like we had no use for it, people have taken things back to the store or something. And look, and admittedly, sometimes if people try to get you something in his clothing, it just isn't the right size. But as I mentioned, the focus should be on what we've been given. And presents should now be being used. Everything that we have now, that's supposedly the purpose of what we've been given. And sometimes, friends, although when you saw that picture a moment ago, for presents like that, no, what it's wrapped in really doesn't matter. I mean, one of the favorite tricks, I don't know how many times I've seen it, is for people to start wrapping up. There's this great big humongous box all wrapped up real nice, and you almost got to get up to the top of it. It's up so high, and you open it up, and what's inside of it? Another box, another present. So you pull that one out, and then you open it up, and what's inside? Another present. And you just keep getting, and it keeps getting smaller and smaller. And yet, by the time you get down to that tiny little gift that's left inside that great big box, you find out it really is valuable. Yes, and when it comes to the special gifts that the Lord has given to us, what gifts are wrapped in, my friends, really does matter. Because of what they are wrapped from and what they are wrapped for. And we're talking, of course, about God's gifts. God's gifts that have come to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's gifts that have come to us wrapped inside of us to be used for the benefit of God's people. And by the way, what are those gifts? Well, we heard about how, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, against such things there is no law, but it starts with the wrapping paper when it comes to our spiritual gifts. And in this case, the first wrapping paper, if you may, was swaddling cloths placed on our Savior Jesus Christ after he was born. And then came the true word. First, the word made flesh who dwelt among us, and then the word of God by which we are told about Jesus, about all of the things that Jesus is and Jesus has done for us. Friends, let's reflect on what it means to have had Jesus for a moment, because if there is one word that we have heard again and again and again in our text for this morning, it was the word grace. We've talked about grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Everything that God gives to us because of the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. But in order for it to be grace, it must be something that is given to everybody. It comes from one, well, in this case, we might say three in one, the triune God. But if it is for us, it must be for everybody. You know, it really isn't even just enough, as an example, to imagine giving everybody here an apple. That would be a gift, but just because we're giving an apple to everybody, that would not necessarily be grace. Certainly not the way God gives it. For God to give it, it would have to be a nonstop flow of apples. We're going to be living on an apple diet the rest of our lives. Now, in this world, that may not be a good thing, but that's what grace is. Everybody gets it, and everybody gets it in unlimited quantities. God's gift of grace never stops giving. But in the midst of his grace, God does give us certain precious gifts. And today is the day that we're here to talk about certain ones of his gifts, because God gives us gifts that sometimes we need to remind ourselves of. For the people that there never seems to be enough, and boy, I get that, about time. But we're not here just talking about the quantity of time. 168 hours in a given week and 28 to 31 days in a given month and however it is you break it down. But also the quality of the time that we spend. How we spend it with what God has given to us. Because, you know, there always is time to serve God and to serve God in and through his church as the church reaches out into community. And it's a time that, if in fact we're going to be able to do the things as a church that we need to do, we need that kind of quality time from people. We've had our chairman up here a number of times. Whatever appeal it is that he will sometimes make, it's all going to require some kind of time. We understand that. But it is a time in which whatever it is that we give to the Lord is something in which the Lord gives back more times than we could ever count. And then from there, we get to the next gift that is called, a lot of times we might call it our talents, but these are the gifts that God has given. And we heard about, the fruits of the Spirit. And indeed, there's different ways to look at the gifts that God gives, but essentially, you can look at three different types that God gives. How God endows you with things that you need so that you can engage a world that is hurting, a world that more and more and more seems to need people that are willing to stand by somebody and say, you know what, you're important to us. You know, friends, there's nothing more discouraging to someone like myself than to be told, hey, we've got some visitors in the back, and it's just a few minutes for worship. They'd like to come and see you. And they come and you can tell that they're in need of the blessing of God, that somehow or another, whatever has happened in their life, they need to be touched by the love and the grace and mercy of God. But, you know, there really isn't enough time to be able to engage them privately, and so I always have to do the same thing. And it happened again last night here as we approached worship. And all I could do is I just said, I can make as much time as I need to just as soon as worship is over. But right now, the best thing that you can do is to join us for worship. We would really like to have you as a part of our worship community and then to watch their face drop and walk away. Because somehow or another, whatever it is that God gives, this does not seem to touch them. And indeed, my friends, as God has blessed us, in the spiritual realm. He makes things that for us become of an urgency, become of an importance that we could not ever just walk away from. And as God gives gifts, yes, spiritual and certainly vocational, things that help you to carry out the things in life that you need to do. You know, not everybody can do the things that either you are doing today or, in some cases here, things you have done for many, many years, and wow, did you do them well. And then finally, things that maybe one day you will be doing. Things you don't even know yet that you're going to be really good at being able to do. And then what I finally call essential gifts. The gifts that God gives that are the ones that are most needed at a given time. Gifts that hardly ever show themselves, but gifts in which at a time when a lot of people are at their worst, we are at our best. Friend, this is where being a steward is, shall we call it, the rubber hitting the road into the world that God has placed us. And that's why, when we are talking about stewardship, I want to spend just as much time talking about what it is not and what it is not about, at least not just. I know that we're in a spot in the church, and the only way that it's going to be addressed is for us to understand that as our church, we need to make sure that we keep our bills paid and that we're realistic about it. Still, if stewardship ends up being about focused only on money and giving, we have missed the whole point of how God has made us stewards. Stewardship cannot be focused mostly on the law, and it is so easy, especially when we need to motivate people to start giving more money, when we need people to start giving whatever it is that we need. It is so easy to shame people and to guilt people. Sometimes we call that even motivation. But what God gives to us is given to us through the gospel. So you don't want to use duty and guilt and conflicted responsibilities. Oh, yeah. Duty is a part of what we do. Duty is what makes us follow through on the things. It makes us find out what the things are that are truly important. It makes us look for the things that we may not have known about, but we need to know about. And let's be honest, even though it may come off that way, it really can't be a gimmick that shows up for about 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is out of the year, and then it gets left behind. Stewardship is about our lives, and no matter where our lives are going as a church, the role of stewardship should continue. So we remind people, just as last year I took you through a whole series of stewardship principles, I want you to remember where we've been. That Christian stewardship reminds us that while we are merely managers of what God has given to us, we are not specifically owners still with what God has given us. Be it opportunity, be it blessings, be it grace, we must take ownership of the opportunity that God gives. Maybe understanding that it's not our own, but if God is going to give us his best, then we need to take ownership of giving him our best. And those opportunities, by the way, are something that belongs to each of us, doors that God has opened. And so today, we add number two. Christian stewardship is about the mission of the church, where we recognize, understand, and use all of what God has given us in glory to him and in the service of his people. And that perhaps needs to be underlined. And use all of what God has given us in glory to him and in service to the church. And so it might help us to ask a couple of quick questions. What do I own? What do I own today? And what owns me? Now, I don't know what each one of us had that God has blessed us with, but one thing you can be sure of, there are some things that own each of us. And while we've talked about, you know, the time and the talents, we've even touched a little bit on the treasures, and we always are talking about that one T that is called testimony. The most important T might be trouble. No, God has not endowed us with that. That is something where we ask ourselves, what do we do with our troubles? We can't use them, but that is something where, in a different way than we give back to God some of our other gifts, we lay our troubles before Jesus. That is something where even as Jesus gives us opportunity, here we have opportunity to shed that because it need not be a part of our lives. Oh, we're always going to have situations. And then finally, understanding the difference between what I need and what I want. And there's a huge difference between what a world genuinely needs versus what the world genuinely wants. Friends, as we reflect and prepare, we remind ourselves of what our challenges are going to be throughout this month. And so, friends, remember to grow in God's Word. And by the way, not just the Word that we're going to be studying in home Bible studies, but the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. In understanding that blessings from God equals opportunities to use what He has given you in love for Him and in service to all people for whom He has given His life. And then ponder where your life in God's world and reality is. Ponder where you can share what God has uniquely given you to share in His world, both of opportunities and in the church. And then finally, if I go past a screen there, prayerfully commit yourselves to such things throughout the coming year, being ready to share them with the two most important people, the two people that are most important in terms of carrying them out. One is you, one is Him. You and God. Friends, I'm going to take an opportunity this morning to close with a moment of silence as we ponder what God has given to us. And then after a few moments, we'll have a closing prayer that I'll put up on the screen that we can pray together. Let's take a moment as we remember what God has given to us. Friends, we pray together. Our generous and ever-living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks. All things are of your making. All times and seasons obey you. You chose to create us in your image and to set us over the whole world in all its wonder. You made us the stewards of creation to praise you every day for your wisdom and power. May we imitate your Son, Jesus, in his life of service. May we be faithful stewards of all your gifts to us, the people of God. Amen. And now may God's peace, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We now have the baptismal confession of our Christian faith for the Apostles' Creed. Please stand for this responsive reading. Let us renew our baptismal vows as we speak of the forgiveness of sins and the birth of the life of faith which God our Father bestows in and through baptism. Do you this day acknowledge the gifts and grace God has given you in holy baptism?
I do acknowledge them.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
I do renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in him whose name is above all names, Jesus Christ, God's only Son?
His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed? Remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit throughout your life.
I will, by the grace of God.
May God enable you both to do this faithful and loving work and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Please note the special prayer response that's on the screen as we lift up our hearts and bow our heads in prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given us the light of your truth in Jesus Christ, that we may have life in his name. We thank you that you have made us alive through faith in him and that you have lavished on us so many gifts of your grace. Make us who are your people shining lights in this world's darkness. To this end, help us always to join hands in love, to always do the work that is set before us. Lord, in your mercy,
in our need.
To this end, bless all that are in your church in love and zeal. Make us loyal in serving our Lord, patient in every trouble, joyful in our promised hope, eager to help our fellow Christians, ready to share with all in need, always holding on to what is good. Grant that we, who are called out of darkness into Christ's marvelous light, may in this way proclaim his saving love and power amongst all people. Lord, in your mercy, comfort us in our need. Lord, we ask that you bestow a special measure of your grace upon our homes and families. May our Lord Jesus be the heavenly guest in all our homes and the guardian of every family's faith and life. Bless all who live together in the bonds of marriage, help them serve one another in love, treating each other with honor, demonstrating the united spirit of those that you have joined together. Lord, in your mercy, give stability, peace, and tranquility to this nation and to all nations of the world. In every test that you send, help all people to lift up their eyes to you, to know your power and love. May we always be ready to proclaim what you have done for us, that all may know your mercy and love in the gift of your Son and his gospel of grace and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, we ask your mercy, O God, for all who are in any special need of body or soul. Show them the comfort of your love. Give them hope instead of despair, joy and gladness instead of grief, and a song of praise instead of sorrow. Dear Lord, we ask a special measure of blessing upon the Traver family and also the family of people of Chesco Elementary who are dealing with the death of Gage Traver after a tragic accident. And now, dear Lord, as we spend many a time lifting up before you someone that is in need of your grace and love, because of our great thankfulness for all you have done for us, this morning we look to you in gratefulness and in thankfulness. And we now wish to lift up before you a special measure of your blessing that we wish to say thank you for, but that we once again do in a moment of silence. Defend us now and always until that moment when you will call us from this life to live in your presence forever and ever. For all this we ask in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have shown your mercy to us and given your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper you reveal this glory to us. Grant us faithfully now to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold that glory face to face. Hear us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Sanctify and guide us in all truth, to know Jesus Christ and the Father whom he has made known, as we are knit and joined together in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes on page 9 with the closing unison collect. Please stand as we pray together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have given us a hope, not from ourselves, but from you. as you call us to be your own. Strengthen us to share the hope of Christ with the world and to use the gifts with which you have equipped us to go into your world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Friends, the blessing is of God Almighty, the Father who gave his Son for the life of the world, the Son who has revealed to us God's grace, mercy, and love, and the Spirit, by whose fruit we are seen to be children of God, bless you now and forever. Amen.